are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. And my name is T-Mac, joined by yours truly.
My name is Cookie Monster, a.k.a. Kudam Zembe, and it's such a great pleasure to be on the show once again. How's it going, T-Mac?
I'm good. No, I miss your light. Why are you now not doing your line?
Because you dissed me last week.
But
right?
But still, say it.
Okay, I'm going to say it later. I'll say it later. Right now, I'm not going to say it. I just feel like you're looking at me and judging me right now.
I am. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to our previous podcast. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We were all about just shedding light on certain things that affect us today as Christians, whether it's part of the culture or just the things we encounter on a day-to-day basis.
True. And I think also because in our culture today, there's so much stuff going on out there, you know, there's so much, to be quite frank, nonsense. And it's important for us to sift through everything and still search for the truth because, you know, our generation is, there's a barrage of...
We're saturated.
We're saturated by a barrage of nonsense. And we need to be able to sift through everything so that we get to the truth. Because ultimately it's the truth that's going to set you free. Amen. That's going to set us free. So that's what we're here to do.
Yes, and we are not saying, and I think we're going to have to keep on having this disclaimer. We're not saying we have all the answers, but we are just trying to direct ourselves and you, our listeners, back to the word to find the actual truth. Because sometimes things just creep in, whether it's through our church or through rhetoric, through talking to people or watching TV preachers or the podcast we listen to. Like we, except for this one, like this one is legit.
This is legit.
But yeah, just stuff we listen to and we just take it all in without, like Kuda said, filtering it. So there's some lies that we have come to accept as truth, or that we just don't even know that it's not the truth. So yeah, we're
but
here
don't,
to...
we don't question things.
We don't anymore. Question, yeah. You know. So that is what we're here to do. We're here to question and to eventually find the answer.
Yeah, so today's topic is a really exciting one. It's a hot one. Hot topic. And our topic today is prophetic or pathetic.
And you're very proud of making up that name, aren't you?
Yes, I'm proud of myself. So, as I've mentioned earlier today, our topic is prophetic or pathetic. And I'm just going to give a quick disclaimer here. We're not bashing the prophets or the prophetic movement,
or
as it were.
Or the office of the prophet.
Or the office of the prophet. That's not what we're here to do. We're not here to talk against any particular ministry. But we're just asking questions, right? To say there's been such a huge prevalence of prophetic stuff.
Yeah, as they would say, they've right been mushrooming.
Mushrooming
all over the place.
A lot of, yes. So we call them burgeoning prophetic churches.
Burgeoning.
Yes. Emerging.
Okay.
Everywhere. But the question we have to ask is, what's really going on?
Yeah.
Right? Is it necessary? Are all these people called by God? Has something all of a sudden happened that God is just raising all these prophets? Or is it genuinely because of the economic difficulties and people have now found another career option, which is that if I'm a charismatic person who knows the right things to say and maybe who actually does have an inclination towards hearing from God, I can set up my prophetic ministry. So I want to talk about that.
And we have a guest who's going to help us.
We have a guest, and our guest is not a prophet. Well, we don't know. But it's a special guest that we have. This is somebody who is very well read and very well versed with the Bible and with theology. And we just thought we'd have someone in the studio today who is objective and who's going to help us address some of the things that we want to talk about from a theological point of view, so that we don't just talk, because, you know, we're not deep like that, right?
To speak for yourself.
Okay. We're not deep like that. So... So today we have with us Shingai Kuwaza, who is a very fine gentleman and very chilled, very calm. And I'm just looking forward to hearing from this guy, because I really think this guy is gonna, you know, he's gonna share some interesting stuff. and we're going to poke him a little bit and see what's in there. But Chingai, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Cookie Monster. It's a privilege to be here.
Cool. I can also call you Chingai Monster.
No.
Well, no.
Just call him Chingai Cool Waza. Cool, Mr. Cool.
Yeah. Shingi Cool Waza.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You've just been ordained by Radiant Culture.
Cool Waza. Cool. So tell us a bit about yourself. What's your background? What are you about?
Okay. As you've all heard, my name is Chingai. And I'm a person with a passion for the Word of God, theology, teaching the Word of God, and particularly the prophetic. I enjoy the prophecy. I love prophecy, especially when it's working properly. So some of the controversy that's been around the prophetic in recent times has really piqued my interest to go back to the Word of God and have discussions and just have a look again at what the Word of God says about prophecy. So I'm a guy who loves the Word of God. I love the prophetic. I also do some other stuff, my otherworldly stuff,
okay.
Which is consulting.
We don't know about that.
So okay, on, yeah. So my first question to you, Cool Waza,
yes.
is... Is TB Joshua a false prophet? Booyah! Right out the box.
Well, I want to avoid a lynching here because there's quite a few people who'll be listening who really
may mess up your other worldly stuff, right?
You don't have to answer that.
Right? Everyone curses raining on me.
Well, since you said your name and surname, yeah, you never know what they could do. Okay, no, let's just leave that one alone. Although I'm sure everyone's like, ah, come on, guys. But no, okay, fine. What is the role of a prophet in today's world? Because we know they're there in the Bible,
yes.
obviously, and Jesus came and he was a fulfillment of prophecy. So there's a role for prophets and the prophetic. So today, what do you think the role is?
All right, I think firstly I'd like to say one of the things that you hear a lot about the last days is that there'll be false Christ and false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that the Bible says about the last days as well is that my sons and my daughters will prophesy. In the last days I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh and all people will prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
So the role of a prophet, if you look at it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the Old Testament the prophet was the guy who heard from God.
Yeah.
It wasn't a gift that was given to everybody. It was these serious dudes who'd come in and speak into the life of a king or the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And they were very serious people that, you know, would spend all sorts of months and days having strange diet, living in mountains.
Yeah.
And that was just your view of the prophet. But now the Spirit of God has been poured out on everybody and anyone and everybody can prophesy. But we still have prophets, and we see in Ephesians 4 verse 11 to 13, along with apostles, evangelists, pastors and teachers, that we have prophets there.
Yes.
And one of their roles in that, there's a job description for them, is to edify the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the works of ministry.
Yes.
So a prophet should equip other people, other Christians, to prophesy. One of the most important roles of a prophet is to train others in the prophetic. So that's to train them in the ministry and also to edify the body, to build it up by doing the work of a prophet. So he will also be prophesying.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you're saying a prophet must train others in the prophetic.
Yes.
So like, I thought prophecy, it's a gift. Like you have to, either you have it or you don't kind of gift. You can actually like go to prophetic school, whatever. Like someone can teach you.
Absolutely. And that's how it was in the Old Testament. You see these guys would move in what are called schools of prophets. So you'd have Elijah would have schools, a school of you know, of prophets that he would lead. And then after him, Elisha came up from out of a number of other prophets who were under him. Mm-hmm. And Elisha took over as the leader of the school of the prophets. So that was in the Old Testament as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the New Testament, the training is not just for a select few people who have the gift, but it's for the whole body of Christ. Because as we have already mentioned, Joel 2:25 says that in the last days you pour the Spirit and everyone can prophesy. Now, anyone who has a gift needs to hone it and needs to have training from a master who has done it before. So Usain Bolt was born, I think, the fastest man. I don't think anyone could train him and teach him the intrinsic aspect of being the fastest. But there's aspects of it that help him to always win. If he doesn't train or doesn't put in place some of the procedures, he's not going to be always the one who is leading or, you know, beating everybody else. So that also comes along if you look at it from the prophetic and any other discipline, you know, in the Christian walk. It could be teaching. It could be encouragement. We all need to be trained to get to the next level. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
My question is, you mentioned that the prophetic gift is something that one can be trained in,
yes,
right? And that
yes,
we all have it in maybe traces or in rudimentary form or something.
Yeah.
My question then is the challenge not that we now have the prophetic office, if I can call it that, has become very glamorized. Mm-hmm. And you find that the people that are called the prophets are, in most cases, they're your prominent, flamboyant guys that are respected by everyone, that are being, I mean, I've literally seen people bowing down before people, you know, because they're prophets, all of this stuff. So my question then becomes, when you say people can be trained, are we being trained to become that, right? So is the training to become a prominent prophet, someone who starts their own ministry, and I also get my Gucci suits and have my followers, and you know, the guys in black suits with shades who carry my Bibles, and I don't know why I need like 13,000 Bibles, but anyway, that's another story. But I'm just saying, what exactly...
And you say, preach off an iPad anyway.
When you say getting trained, mm-hmm, what does that actually mean?
All right, so let me just break it down from the very basic level. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 3 to 4, he said that anyone who follows me, like if you're my sheep, you will hear my voice.
Yeah.
So if you're a Christian, you can hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And prophecy is simply hearing what God says and saying it. So if God says to you, I love you, and then you tell someone and say, this morning God said to me, he loves me, you've just prophesied because you have said what God said. That's prophecy at its most basic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about prophecy in terms of training people, we need to understand the distinction between the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet.
Shout out to Prophecy, dropped his album last week.
Prophecy? Are you listening?
Are prophecy. You listening? Your name
are
you, is being thrown around.
Oh, pathetic.
I think
he's prophetic. I think he's prophetic. We love you, pro. We love you. Anyway, sorry, Karen.
Back to what you were saying.
Great. As I was saying, there's the gift of the prophet and the office of the prophet. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has the gift of prophecy, and that will, I'll use another Christianese term, manifest in different settings at different times. A person will not always consistently walk in that gift.
Right.
And then there's the office of the prophet, which is the Ephesians 4:11 that we spoke about,
yes,
where someone is established in it consistently and regularly walks in that gift, and his ministry goes beyond the local church, which is where the gift kind of stops. So just with, you know, between people and so on, that's the gift of of the prophet. But the office of the prophet goes beyond just the church. So someone will then go on to speak into government and will speak into national events.
Yes.
So I'll give an example. In Acts 11, verse 27 to 30, we have a company of prophets coming down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them is called Agabus. And he gets up and he prophesies and says, guys, there's going to be a great famine over all the known world. And it actually took place during the reign of Claudius. I think the Bible says that.
Right.
And then the response of the church was to say, Agabus has prophesied, let's set up a collection and send money to Judea, which is the region that's going to be most affected.
Right.
Oh.
So that before the famine comes, they have something to then, you know,
buy
supplies and so forth. So that was a response to a word from a prophet who spoke about an event that was going to come, and that's in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that someone in the office of a prophet will do. And if someone is in that office, if they have been doing that for a while, if you're coming up in the prophetic, because the Bible talks a lot about, you know, being young, being an infant, growing, becoming an adolescent, becoming an adult, and, you know, that kind of imagery of having been born again and coming to a place of maturity.
Yeah.
It's the same with the gifts. And so a prophet who has come up to a place of maturity can then bring up other people who are walking in their gifts and are learning to use it. So sometimes the gift will work in a certain way. You can see a vision, but you don't know what the vision means.
Okay.
Like Jeremiah in his initial stage, where God said to him, what do you see? He says, I see an almond branch.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you have seen correctly because I'm watching over my word to perform it.
Yeah.
Now, the almond branch and the watching over the word have no connection except that almond sounds like the word for watching.
Oh.
Mm. Okay.
So what you're seeing is not exactly what God is saying. So you need someone who can help you to interpret that. Same thing happened with Samuel. Three times the Lord called him, and he didn't know the voice of the Lord. And he needed Eli to say, next time you go and lie down, say the following.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what you need as a young prophet. You need someone who can come in and train you to get you up to that place. But some of the bells and whistles of the suits and personality stuff, it's really with down to the personality of the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
There's sections of the body of Christ that are not, well, Africa is well known for being very flamboyant and, you know, extravagant with, you know, with wealth. But there are other sections of the body of Christ where I've encountered prophets that are nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very down to earth. You see them in their jeans or in their flip-flops or in their shorts.
Okay.
And they're prophesying just as accurately as some of those guys are doing. So it's really just a matter of personality.
Cool. So cool was that. Right. My question, thanks a lot for that, because that sheds a lot of light. You know, there's two extremes that I've seen here. That the one extreme is where people, especially young people in our generation, have totally begun to shun anything to do with this whole prophetic thing because they think these prophets are all charlatans and they're all in it.
You're on a roll.
They're all in it.
Big words.
You're killing my flow, bro.
Okay.
And they're all in it for the money, right?
Yeah.
And we see it. I mean, you see these guys rocking expensive suits. You know, some of these guys are driving Rolls Royces. I think I like Rolls Royce. I always use it. And and they just live very flashy lifestyles, very opulent, and
yeah.
Then the flip side is that you have people who are so into this prophetic thing that they don't move unless they've heard a word from their papa.
Yes.
Okay, that papa life.
Yes.
Where it's all about my papa, right? The moment
papa life.
The moment you try to, the moment you even oppose or object to anything that papa said, people get emotional. People will defend. People will defend papa more than they defend Jesus in some cases.
Wow.
So those are extremes that I've seen. And my question is, what is the right stance to take, right? We're a young generation. There's a lot that's happening. Yes, the older folk, those ones we can leave alone. But I'm talking about for us.
Yeah.
Right. What is the actual right stance to take with this whole prophetic thing? Can we trust it? Is it something that we need? Can I just read my Bible? Do I really need to be listening to these prophets, or they're for the older guys or the weird guys? So just
the weird guys.
That's I think that's a great question, and I would say we always need to go back to the Bible. I think the correct approach or response to misuse is not non-use, but right use.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back to the scriptures and say, okay, what is the right use? Because
just say that again. Say that again.
Okay, the correct response to misuse is not non-use, but is right use.
Wow.
Of the gift.
I like that.
Yeah. So Paul had a very similar situation where there was extremes in the church at Corinth. So the reason he wrote 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 was basically to say, guys, I'm hearing of some excesses amongst you.
Yeah.
This is how to do it.
Mm.
I'm not saying do not prophesy, but I'm saying this is how you ought to do it properly.
Mm.
And we go back to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. It says, I want you to be eager to walk in spiritual gifts. And the word eager in the Greek is actually can be translated to mean to covet, to be greedy for.
Mm-hmm.
I think even to use the word lust after, that's the sense of the Greek there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very strong desire for spiritual gifts and to walk in spiritual gifts. And he says, especially that you may prophesy.
Okay.
So that's what he says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. He says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues because he speaks for the edification, the consolation, and the encouragement of those who listen.
Yeah.
So it's always coming back to the scriptures and finding no matter what people are doing out there, what does the scripture say? Regardless of all the abuse and all the wacky stuff and the weirdness, let's find the right use for the gift, and let's be passionate about the prophetic because of what it can do for our brother. Because it first begins by saying follow the way of love, and love is always desiring to do what's best for your neighbor. And what best thing to do, or what better thing to do can you know than to edify them, bring them a word that will bring them encouragement or comfort in a time of difficulty or in a circumstance where they're not very sure which way to go. And there's also a very powerful evangelistic edge to the prophetic, where you find 1 Corinthians 14:25 says, when the church is going for it in the prophetic, when everyone is prophesying, the secrets of a man's heart will be laid bare, and then they'll fall to the ground and say, truly your God is here. So unbelievers will come in and they will be rocked by the prophetic, not just from one person who is up front with the microphone, but if the guy at the door, the usher, and someone is coming in, hi, what's actually your name? Is Cookie Monster, that's the name you use, and yes, this is what happened to you, and so on and so forth, and you know, and then starting from the door and you're getting in, the person who's collecting tithes and offerings is also able to prophesy, the person who's doing kids work can prophesy.
Yo, I'd be weirded out by
this. Paul's vision for the prophetic, okay, in the church.
Okay, so can I just ask, right, yeah, so what we have in some instances is we struggle to distinguish between having a word of knowledge and speaking a word of prophecy.
Okay.
Because there is a difference, isn't there? Because, yeah, if someone can tell me my ID number, does that make them a prophet?
Yes and no. No, in that being able to tell someone their ID number doesn't make you a prophet, but yes, that is part of the prophetic. Being able to tell someone the secrets of their, you know,
so
of their
what's
life
the difference between a word of knowledge then and a prophetic word?
All right, the word of knowledge has to do with information about who you are or a situation in your life, right? Mm-hmm. It's knowledge. Prophecy has to do more with the future.
Yes.
So a word of knowledge generally deals with the past and the present. You have a phone of this. You live in this place. Actually, this is what happened to you. This is what happened when you're going to work. Mm-hmm. You wanted to wear this dress, but you ended up wearing this one instead. And then you got into your car. Yeah. The car is red, yeah, right? And then you drove across, and then you got there. There was a police officer, mm-hmm, and you actually paid him a 10 instead of the 20 that he wanted because he paid a bribe. And then everyone's going, wow, amen, yes, prophesy, and so forth. That's, yeah, a word of knowledge, okay, because you're just, he's picking up information, uh-huh, of things that have happened already.
Data
or things that have to do with your current circumstance. But the prophecy aspect is speaking about what then do you go and do? Because if I tell you your phone number, you know it.
Yeah.
And you, where you stay, what you did already, you know all those things. But now I have to tell you something that you do not know that will give you direction.
Right.
So I see you have applied for a job.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't go that way. They'll offer you the job, but don't go to that one. There's another one that will come 3 days after.
Mm.
That's where you have to go.
So that's
the prophecy aspect.
Okay.
So if you look at Saul and his servant, they were looking for donkeys that were lost. And they said, look, we've been looking 3 days. Let's go to this man of God who never misses it. That's what they said, basically. And then maybe he can tell us what the donkeys are. So that's how the prophetic, that's the expectation on the prophetic in the Old Testament is, he will locate for us where we should go to find the donkeys.
Yeah.
Not that we have donkeys and your name is this and so forth and so on. That's another whole
thing. So from what I'm getting, sorry to cut you off there. From what I'm getting here, you are saying that the legitimacy of the prophecy,
mm-hmm,
has to do with the person,
yeah,
and with the motive.
Yeah, yeah.
In that it's not just a gift that's there so that people are wowed by your ability to pick up data.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's more to do with what's driving you. So you,
yeah,
are you driven by love? Are you driven by, yeah, a desire to honor God?
Yes.
And that's what I think is, I think that's where the disconnect is sometimes,
yeah,
with people.
Yeah.
And I've been here before where I've really been suspicious of some of these guys to think, okay, is this guy really in it for God or is this now all about him?
All right.
You know, and I guess that's got to do with personalities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's important for us to demystify all of that. And you've done quite a great job here to just try and bring people back to the truth again to say, no, prophecy is actually a legitimate function in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's something that God wants us to operate in.
Absolutely.
But it has become, I think, tainted,
yeah,
because of the way people have handled it. And it's actually become almost distasteful that you, mm-hmm, when someone goes to a prophetic church, you think, eh, okay, you're one of them unbanned people. Yeah. So, so all I'm saying is, you know, there's, I'm actually very, I'm very impressed at the way that you're responding to this because it does shed a lot of light, right?
Yeah, it does.
I like it. So, guys, there's room. So maybe some of you out there are prophets,
yeah,
but because you were put off by that orange suit, you think the prophetic doesn't work. But maybe that's who you are. So don't take it lightly. And the Bible actually says don't treat prophecy with contempt.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's all I wanted to say about this.
Okay, so Kuwaza, I've been listening to what you're saying, right? And basically what I've gathered so far is that by virtue of us being in the new dispensation, yeah, you think it's the only one with big words. we all have the prophetic gift to some extent, right? Just some haven't really
ability to hear
worked
God,
on it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what do we need the prophets for, really? If we all have the Holy Spirit within us, we all have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. then why are people seeking the prophets so much?
You know, I think that's a brilliant question, actually, because when you have the Holy Spirit, you know, and he can tell you stuff, why do you need someone else to come in and speak?
Mm.
But I also want to come across and say, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, that we have received the anointing who teaches us all things, and we need no one to teach us anything. Yes, but then we still need teachers to teach us. So Jesus still gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, even though we have the Holy Spirit who can teach us all things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine the reason for it is that one of the things we need to realize about, even though we've received the truth and we've got the Holy Spirit, but there are times in our lives when, for one reason or another, you just don't know which way to go, which direction to take. And if you look at Peter, he went from, Jesus said, you're not received from flesh and blood. So there's a flesh and blood revelation. Your own spirit can reveal things and mm-hmm, say things mm-hmm. to you, like you have mm-hmm. a dream out of your own spirit. Then he also says, this is coming from my Father in heaven. And then he says, get thee behind me, Satan. All in
two chapters or something. Yeah.
And so you can see the capacity for Peter, who's still a genuine apostle and who is not a false apostle because Satan said something through him,
mm-hmm.
right? But he has heard from all those sources. And sometimes you just don't really know. So I don't know if you've had a situation in your own life where people say things like, I'm not very sure. I think it could be God. I don't have a piece. That's exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the prophetic, because these guys have, I would say they've been given grace. I want to use that very loosely.
Mm-hmm.
To operate in that regularly and ndokubasa kwake, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
They can then come alongside and help us.
Yeah.
I'll give an example that you can basically do a lot of things by yourself at home, but sometimes you bring someone along who says, this is what I'm doing. I can take care of the kids. I'll wash the dishes. And, you know, they do that. But mm-hmm. you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
but they are specifically doing that, and then they come alongside to help you. Not because you can't do it, but mm-hmm. because they're bringing something, they're specializing in it, and then they're freeing you up to do other things, they're adding value to your life.
Okay.
You can then kind of think of it in the prophetic to think, these guys will give you guidance and direction whenever you need it.
They're supposed to be our dishwashers.
Yeah.
Serving the body of Christ.
That's it. That's washing. It exactly.
Okay, sorry, before you ask your question, I know you're burning.
I'm burning.
But if they're supposed to come and help me, right,
mm-hmm.
how come sometimes the prophecies you receive are just like, huh? Like, I don't even get it. Like, you feel like it doesn't apply to you, or you just like, I don't even know what this guy's going on about.
It's like forcing a word on you.
Yeah, and you're just like, I'm not even relating to what this person is saying. Like, let's say they're prophesying about marriage, and I don't know, like, it can be whatever, but sometimes you don't connect with the word.
Yes.
Does that make the word false, or is it just that you aren't in tune enough at that moment to really receive it?
Okay, so it could be that the prophet is off,
mm-hmm.
right?
Bad day,
or he's actually not a prophet.
He's done a TV, Joshua Aounye.
Exactly. Well, so to speak. So there's that aspect, but then there's also the aspect of sometimes when prophecy comes to you, in the moment it doesn't make sense,
mm-hmm.
but as you maybe if you go home, or someone chats to you, or you go back to your journal
mm-hmm.
from back in the day, you realize, hey, hang on, now it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So I gave you the example of Jeremiah, who saw an almond branch, and he could have been thinking, what on earth is this?
Yeah.
And then God says, what do you see? And, well, I see an almond branch. And then God gives him an interpretation for mm-hmm. that. So sometimes you hear a word that doesn't make any sense to you.
Yeah.
It could be, off 100%, or it could be just that in the moment it's not making sense.
Mm.
But afterwards, something happens that then it makes sense.
Okay.
Cool. And then this is the final question that I have about this subject. The one that I think is the most irritating is this, that why is there the impression that in order to receive a word from the prophet, you've got to sow a seed? So just the way everything is worded there,
mm-hmm.
you've got to sow into the prophecy, right?
Yeah.
What's all that about? Is that actually biblical? And why do I need to feel like I'm purchasing?
Yeah.
So what, if God wants to speak to me, He's my Father, He wants to get this thing across to me. Yeah. Why do I need to give you $100 for you to tell me what God is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get a job or something. I don't know. But that's my question.
Yeah. Yes. Again, I think that's a great question. And I think you need to appreciate, if you look at some of these prophets, you listen to them preach, a lot of it is from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Old Testament, you had to bring a gift to the prophet.
That much I know.
So, yeah. With that example we discussed earlier, where Saul wanted to go to Samuel, they said, "Hey, but we don't have anything to bring to the man of God."
Mm.
Right.
So we can't just go empty-handed. It was a practice that you do not go to the man of God empty-handed. You go with something, and you see it again with Elisha. Quite a few guys go in there with something, if they want to hear from God. So it was an Old Testament practice.
Was this because the prophets did that full time, and that was also part of their sustenance?
To a degree, yes.
Prophets nowadays, they sell books, aren't they?
Yes.
They sell DVDs.
Yes.
They sell all these things. They've got a whole lot of revenue streams.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to understand. And listen, I'm not being cynical, but it's a genuine question to say.
Yeah.
Why do we need to give money in order to? Sorry, that's just
okay. No, that's
objection. You can carry.
It's fine. I think part of it was to do with sustenance, but another part of it was to do with honor, because one of the ways that you honor in the Bible is with your finance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it was really more of an honor thing
than
sustenance, because on one occasion Elisha actually said, "No thanks. I don't want." When Naaman was healed, he said, "I don't want anything from you."
Mm. And then Gehazi went after him and he was just like, "Actually."
Yeah. So there are times that they would receive, and then at times they say, "No thanks," just depending on the season and where they were at. It wasn't a hard and fast rule for them to receive, but it was a way of honoring. But now in the new covenant, you see it in the reverse. Now in Luke 8, you see that Jesus had women who were around him who were giving financially to his ministry.
Yeah.
But you read that it says that there were women who had been healed, some who had been had demons cast out of them.
Yeah.
So it was after the blessing, the spiritual blessing, then these guys are giving after they've already been healed, as opposed to,
if I'm giving you
so that you can heal me.
Yes.
So these are guys who are working with Jesus, and you see it again with Paul. He says, if we've sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much for us to reap the material? So the seed now is not the money. The seed is the spiritual thing, the word of God, the prophecy. And now the reaping is you coming out of your own heart and saying, "You did a great thing for me. My life will never be the same again. And this is what I want to do to thank you." So that's how New Testament ministry ought to work. You do the job first, and then someone out of appreciation says, "I appreciate what you did."
So it's it's not an obligation.
It's not an obligation.
Right.
In the Old Covenant, it was more or less obligatory.
Okay.
So you come with the substance first, then you get blessed with the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the other way around. Prophecy comes first, and then someone comes with something if they want to or if they don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's where the confusion comes in, where people have carried over Old Testament practice into the New Covenant era.
So for all those listening who have been listening to this whole discussion, we want to know, how can you discern between someone who is a legitimate prophet and someone who is a fake prophet?
Great. Again, I always say, come back to the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 15 to 23, he spoke about, "Beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inside they're ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will know them."
Mm.
And the fruit is not accurate prophecy. It's not the how many phone numbers he can pull out. It's the character, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control are those increasingly being displayed in the life of the prophet. This is how you will know the difference between a genuine and a fake prophet. That's why Jesus said.
Wow.
And then also Revelation 19:10 says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Now, as the body without the spirit is dead, so is prophecy without the testimony of who Jesus is. So you always want to look out to hear what do they say about Jesus, because it always unravels around this area. Do they believe Jesus came in the flesh? John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, he says, this is how you know that these guys are false prophets or the spirit of the Antichrist. If they do not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, but the Spirit of God will always confess that Jesus came in the flesh. So the testimony about Jesus Christ is very, very important. Who is Jesus to them? Every cult that you can look at, and I won't give any names here, but you want to go back, you look at who they say Jesus is,
right.
It always unravels there. There will always be some dispute from what the Bible teaches about Jesus and what they believe. So those two things are important. Their character and what they're saying about Jesus. And then to really know about that, you have to look at their lives over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can know once off.
Yeah.
Unless your spiritual antenna have been developed through being in the Word of God a lot.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I would say. Be in the Word of God. Bank tellers are given genuine notes to count before they're given the fake. So they're given lots of genuine ones and they thumb through the genuine ones so that when they throw in a fake note, then they feel the texture and they say, oh, we've felt the genuine all along. This is fake.
Yeah.
The Word of God is genuine. Stay in the Word so that when prophecy comes, if it's false, you will feel it. You feel the texture of the prophecy. It's not consistent with the Word of God. So that's the three things I would say. Character of the prophet. Also look at what they say about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to them? And thirdly, be immersed in the Word of God so that you are able to discern for yourself.
That is so good, man. Thanks a lot, Mr. Kuwaza. That's some really important stuff that you just shared there. And I think this gives us an important base and foundation for us to start understanding how this whole thing is working. And you know, my encouragement to all of us is that let's not lose sight of the important thing. And the important thing is the Word of God and what God is trying to accomplish. Because ultimately, no man is greater than God. No matter how deep a prophet is, he's not God.
Yeah.
Or she's not God.
Yeah.
Right? It all really boils down to God. And that's something that I think is important for us to always remember and acknowledge, that it's all about God at the end of the day. And if someone is not helping us focus on God, if it becomes about anything else that's not God, then we've lost the plot.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.